Good evening. I've written on the board, arise, shine. I'd like to start first maybe with a little illustration or story. Artificial light or man-made light, does it ever truly substitute for the real thing? When I say the real thing, you go outside on a bright, clear, sunny day, bluebird sky, and maybe at noon when the sun's directly overhead, you can't quite substitute that, can you? I remember at a very specific time, this was, I could say, probably one of many different illustrations I could give on this, but I was, had set up a hunting spot at a new place. This was when I used to work at one of the facilities we had. They owned about 2,000 acres, and they allowed the employees to hunt on it as long as we used archery. And so they had their system of where each person got a designated spot, and you weren't allowed to hunt anywhere except for your spot. And so I had gotten my spot, and I had gone to it on the four-wheeler, and there's a little trail and road that goes back to almost all the way to my spot. This was several years ago. I don't have it anymore. But I had gone during the day, scouted around and found me a real good spot, I thought, and hung my deer stand. I'd hung the stand up and had it ready, and then I had big plans to go hunting, I think the next day, I don't remember. But the key was I'd been there in the daytime to get everything set up, and I hadn't even hunted yet in an evening hunt and walked out at night. So my first time to walk to my deer stand, truly, I guess you'd say, was early one morning. I decided I was going hunting, so it was dark. I mean, you typically try to get into your stand. I like to get in my stand well before daylight because I like for the woods to calm back down after as quiet as you can be. They still know you're there when you're walking through the woods. My dad always used to explain to me, just imagine a deer come walking through your living room. You'd probably be aware of it pretty quick. So I would try to get in pretty early. And my hunt spot, I would park the four-wheeler and I'd walk down the little road, and my hunt spot wasn't far at all from the little road. It was maybe half the distance from here to the highway, maybe, if that far. I don't even know if it was that far. But I got there that morning, and I was confident because I had been hunting for years, and I never was really spooked by walking into the woods. And, you know, it's not, I'd rather walk in the woods in the daytime, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't bother me. But I got there that morning and I started walking to my deer stand. I was headed there and I started walking and I realized, I was trying to find a tree that looked familiar and I couldn't find that tree. Then I turned around and tried to go back to see if I could find the tree. Like, well, I must have walked past it. So I walked back, and so I was walking. I'm sure I was walking in circles. I don't know, but I'm sure I was walking in circles. But eventually what I had done, I was trying to pay attention to where the moon was so I could maybe get back to my four-wheeler. So I did. I stumbled around for a long time, and the more I was out there stumbling around, the more frustrated I was getting because I could start seeing a little bit of a glow, which actually kind of helped me also know which direction the four-wheeler was. I was getting more and more frustrated because it was an hour and 15-minute drive over there. At the time, you know, I was doing good to maybe get two or three hunts in a year. So this was one of my opportunities. I was excited about my new spot. I thought it was going to be a good morning. And here it was, I got lost on one of my precious mornings to be able to go hunting. And it was a beautiful morning. I stumbled around and tried to find my way. And I'm just telling you, in the moonlight, and I had a flashlight I had turned down real dim. The woods don't look anything like they do in the daytime. They just don't. Maybe some of y'all have done something similar. I did eventually find my way back to my four-wheeler. And so I was like, well, okay, I know exactly how to get to my deer stand. So by this time, it was starting to become daylight, and I was able to make it to my deer stand. But by the time I got my stand, it was light. I could see everything. That was one instance, And I was frustrated because I could not, I knew I was close. I knew I probably got really close to my deer stand in all that time I was wandering around. But I was frustrated because I couldn't, it just didn't look the same. And I had made the mistake of, I didn't tie any little ribbons up because I didn't want to draw any attention to where my spot was, because some of our spots were kind of close and could have overlapped a little bit. And I didn't want anybody to know where I was. I wanted that to be a secret. And so I didn't mark it very well either. Then I got to thinking too about, you know, if you go out on a bright moonlit night, do all the colors pop on a full moon night as they do during the day? You can see, like, I've gone out in my field, and you go out in a pasture in the middle on a full moon night, you could see, I mean, I can walk out there and check, I could check the cows, I could see fine out there. You could walk around and see completely fine, but the grass doesn't look very green on the moonlit night, does it? It kind of looks more of a grayscale, kind of a dull, just a dull color. I saw a illustration the other day. It was a little video. He's an artist, and he was going way more into depth of colors and how they work together. I've never thought that much about it. But the point of his video he was wanting to make is he was showing how he had a light. It's kind of, y'all remember those sodium vapor street lights? They're kind of like a, now we got these bright white lights out here now. The old night watchman lights. They're a very orange, yellow light. And it kind of makes everything kind of a grayscale. And that's what this gentleman had. He had a light in his studio that he had, and it made almost all of his paints turn a shade of gray. And so he was videoing that, and he showed how he mixed everything. He painted a picture. He had a picture of a vase of flowers, and he painted it looking at that and painted it to try to match his painting to look what the picture looked like, but under a light where he couldn't tell what color his paints were. He could only look at the shades of gray that they turned underneath this light. And so when he turned on the light, the regular lights in the studio, the painting looked nothing like the picture. It was kind of a dull blue color with just different shades of light and dark, because he ended up mixing greens and blues and all kinds of colors, because under this light, a lot of these colors just look very similar. The yellows look very similar to the light greens and the blues. It's just, it was difficult because he didn't have pure light. He had a very specific wavelength of light. And I took a lot of physics, and those of you maybe you already know this or not, but the reason things have color, the reason why these benches are blue, is because they're absorbing all the other light, reflecting the blue wavelength back at us. So whatever, if that those look blue to us, because the blue light is coming back into our eyes and our brain's processing that. So when people want to mess with the way colors look, they can change what, you could remove all the blue wavelength out of the lights in here and these wouldn't look blue anymore. They would have probably a more of a gray, almost black color to them. You can change colors of things by pulling certain wavelengths out, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You can even do this experiment if you have a flashlight. I've done it before. I have a flashlight with a red lens. It's supposedly animals can't see red light as well. I don't know if that's true or not. But you have I had a flashlight with a red lens, and you shine that red light on things. You shine it on a like a blue ball, and it turns black. You can look at it and shine a red light on it, and it's black because there's no blue light to reflect. So I hope you can see where I'm going with this. Jesus himself said in John 8 and 12, he said, "I am the light of the world." I can't quote the whole thing. Let's go there. We'll start with Jesus' statement. John 8 and 12. He said, talking to the Pharisees, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Then I'd like to go to Isaiah, which is where the title of this message comes from, Isaiah 60. 60 and 1. First phrase, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I've been thinking a lot about our responsibilities as a Christian, my responsibility as a representative of Him, that, well, the Lord specifically brought this verse to my mind one afternoon or one morning, and it's a very, I think I alluded to this maybe last week, I had a moment with the Lord that I haven't had in a long time, that He just poured, I feel like He poured His Spirit on me, and He allowed me to see, He explained to me, He said, Jared, I want you to get up, and I want you to shine the light that I've given you. It said, arise, shine, for thy light is come. I've given it to you. I have light for you. But He doesn't want me to just hold on to the light that He's given to me. He wants me to arise and shine. And I've been thinking about that. I stumbled around for a long time using my own little flashlight. I had my own special little flashlight that I was stumbling around for a long time trying to find my way. And I was using my little flashlight to try to find my way through the scriptures. And I can tell you, for a long time, this was just a bunch of black and white pages with some red thrown in. For a long time, it was hard for me to read the scriptures and really leave that thinking that I feel like I had anything. Especially you get up in the morning and you hurry up, like kind of play, Bible roulette and say, well, all right, Lord, here. All right, I'm going to read here. Well, I was using my special little red lens flashlight or my flashlight that I had conveniently removed certain wavelengths out of because it wasn't convenient for me to read. What did He say to Ezekiel? He said, consume. There's a book here, and I want you to consume it all. I want you to consume this thing. And I wasn't. I was, like I said before, I was removing certain wavelengths out of the light that I wanted. I was applying a filter to my life, I guess you could say. Because we could apply filters, you could wear special glasses, you could apply filters to light, and it filters out certain wavelengths. Essentially, that's what I was doing. When the Lord would shine light on my life, I would apply a filter over it because I didn't like certain wavelengths coming in. I didn't like certain colors showing up on my life. I was not allowing the full, I wasn't allowing Jesus to fully illuminate the things that I had, that I was holding on to, that I had in my life. I was purposely, and sometimes I guess, well, let me say I was purposely, I had deceived, allowed myself to be deceived that I had the right ideas, that I didn't need to allow this part. I don't know if I could say that I was consciously saying, Lord, I don't want you to talk to me about this. But by my thought processes and trying to figure things out all on my own without fully laying myself bare and open before the Lord, I was doing that. I was saying, Lord, I don't want you to shine everything. I want you to only shine, these certain wavelengths on my life, because I don't want to see the color blue on my life because I don't like that. I don't like seeing that color on my life because that makes me feel kind of ugly. And, when the Lord finally got through to me, is like, Jared, I need to shine my light, all of it. I need you to step outside the bright noonday and let me shine all this light that I have. Now, I'm still obviously finding things out about myself. There's still light getting into little corners that I haven't seen yet. And I suppose you are like me. That happens pretty regular, that the Lord shines fresh light. And I still find that I have little filters here and there that I have filtered the light through, and I want it to look a certain way. Say, no, Lord, you can't. We can't touch that. That's not that. We can't change that. That's how I've lived my whole life. I can't change my my opinion on that now. You know what I've said to these people. You know what I've, the statements I've made at work, or you know the bold statement. Maybe I'm the only one who's put his foot in his mouth, but I doubt it. You know the bold things that I've said, and you're going to shine your light. No, I can't have that filter removed. I've got to keep that because it's who I am, and I don't want you to take away who Jared is. But when I allow him to shine his full light on me, I'm realizing that all that Jared is isn't necessarily that nice and that pretty. I want him to clean me up. I want him to come in with that bright light. You know, whenever you go to a body shop, they don't have just normal lights. You go into the paint booth, it's fully illuminated, and it's special lights that they want to make sure that they get the colors right. Because, well, you may have done that. I've done this here. The light in my closet in our bedroom is different than the light here. I've had clothes before that I thought were either brown or in a black or navy or vice versa, and you get here and you realize, wait, this isn't black. This is actually blue. Or, you know, when you get into these lights are considered daylight. They don't substitute for daylight, but the different lights that you go in, even the color of your walls can change the color of what you perceive something to be, because in here we got a lot of white reflecting back. If you had these walls painted a pink color, you would have a pink tone on your white papers and stuff, because you would have that filtering onto what we're seeing. I hope I'm making sense here. What we fill in our lives with, what we fill, what we paint our walls with, what light bulbs we screw into our special little rooms and stuff, affect how we view things. They affect our worldview. They affect how I view each one of you. They affect how I view the people that I work with. They affect how I view the people who disagree with me. They affect everything about our lives. We may not even realize it. Certain little things that we do on a day-to-day basis affects how I perceive people and how I perceive even the plan of salvation and what it means for me. Because if I've got this filter on my life that I'm not allowing the full light of the Lord to shine on me, I can have a completely different opinion, a completely wrong opinion of what the Lord wants out of us. And we have to be careful. I'd like to dig a little deeper into this. Go back to, I lost my place. Isaiah 60. If you go on down a little farther, kind of touches on some of these things. Verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. You know, what those verses spoke to me when the Lord brought them to me is, now, all these things that I was using for my source of light, the special little plans that I had and all the illumination that I had created, that doesn't have to be your light anymore. That's not going to be your light anymore. Now, when I've opened myself up, saying, Lord, be my light. He said that he's the light of the world. He said those that were children of the light. Now I no longer have to rely on the sun, which in my mind, it's talking about the things that my natural things that I was gravitating to, those things I was taking my light from. That doesn't have to be my brightness anymore. That doesn't have to be the moon and the sun. That doesn't have to be my light anymore. Now, it's Jesus, the Lord. It says, the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And then it says, and guess what? That light doesn't ever go down now. Your sun doesn't have to go down. The moon doesn't have to go down. Now I'm your everlasting light. You don't have to have these moments where you have no hope. Yes, are we going to have some down and depressing times most likely. You're going to have some times that maybe you feel a little dark, and maybe you feel like the Lord has left. But He's promised to be our everlasting light. He's not going to leave us in the dark. He's not going to leave us alone. But our part, and this is where I want to get back to the rise and shine. So now, let's get to the point that we've now removed those filters from our lives. We've allowed the Lord to open us up, shine His light fully on our lives. What is our responsibility now? Am I supposed to just keep all that light to myself and go hide in a corner and read the scriptures and just keep that light to myself? You go read the first chapter, the first verse of this chapter says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Well, you know what that speaks to me of is I'm supposed to reflect. So the light that's in me, I was already shining that light out anyway, if it's good or bad. But now, when the Lord is shining His full light on me, I'm supposed to stand up, allow His light to fill me, and then to project out of me. He said later, so John 8, He said, "I am the light of the world." But then in Matthew, He said, "Ye are the light of the world." So He's come. He lived on this earth. He did what He had to do. He gave us salvation. He went through the whole plan. And now He's saying, He said, "You are the light of the world. You are a city that's set on a hill." And what else does He say about that? He says, it shouldn't be hid. You don't hide it. Let your light so shine before men. And I think that's a different scripture. But let your light so shine before men that they may see that you're a good person. And that you have all the light for yourself. And that that you may show your good works. That they may glorify God. So that what that's saying is, arise and shine. Let the light of the Father come into me and then spill out. So everywhere I go, I'm just a reflector for what the Lord is showing me. Now I know there's very personal things that the Lord reveals to us, and we're not supposed to. I don't think it's necessarily that advantageous to go out and just grabbing people by the shoulders and say, "Hey, I've got light. And I want to share it with you." There's ways we can just live our lives and shining our light brightly for the Lord. Yes, there's times for us to sit and talk to people and have conversations, absolutely. But a lot of it is living our lives as a light to the world. What scripture? I was looking for a scripture. Oh, 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4. This is not a suggestion from the Lord for us to shine our light. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power of the power may be of God and not of us." Not that we pull everybody looking at us and say, "Hey, look at the light I've got." But when the light shines in, and then we to give out that light, to give out the knowledge and the understanding that we have a responsibility. We have a huge responsibility. And I think we've all seen the recent happenings in our world and our nation. There's some very hungry people. There's some people who are groping around looking for light, and they didn't know where to look. They didn't know where to find it. They didn't know how to find light. That shouldn't be whenever we're anywhere close to them. I'm just going to be blunt. There shouldn't be people in our lives that are looking for light and they can't find it. If I'm in this person's life and they're looking for light and they can't find it, well, shame on me. Because what am I doing? What is my purpose? Why am I here if it's not to shine the light of the Lord in every corner that I approach? If I've got someone in my life who's seeking and hungry, what am I doing? What am I doing to help them see and understand? No, I shouldn't be obnoxious about it, but let's help people to see the light. Let's help people to understand that there's more to life than walking around in the dark with a little flashlight trying to find our way. There's one who wants to shine a full light on our lives and allow us to be illuminated, to see the glory that's available to us. And he wants us to see truth for what it really is. He wants us to understand and see the truth, not a filtered truth that we don't want to see all these little things. I want to filter it out. That's not what he wants us to portray to the world either. We're not supposed to receive the light from the Lord, and then as we shine out, we put a filter on it so we don't offend anybody. We don't want this wavelength to go out because I'm afraid it might cause me some problems. Well, what else did the Lord say about what we're going to go through? I believe he said that we're going to be hated. And what did he say? Well, he said, well, they hated me first. They hated me first. You can deal with it too. I'm going to be with you. I understand. He went through it too. Maybe some of the things that we shine out of our lives aren't going to be popular. Maybe it won't be received by everybody. But I don't want to get to the end of the way and figure out that I've been applying a filter to the light that was going out. That maybe I had light, but I wasn't willing to let it fully reflect, let it fully shine back out, because I was too afraid to shine the pure light of the Lord wherever I went. I've heard this, it might even be, I feel kind of silly now, I think it might be a scripture, if not, it's a saying, where it says, fear God, something about fearing God, but fear no man, or something, some saying, I think it might be a saying, where we don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear the one. Well, I know the scripture says, don't fear the one who's able to kill the body. Don't fear the one who's able to hurt us physically. We need to fear the one who can entrap us and cause us to start covering our eyes or covering the light coming in and shading it. We need to fear the one who can drag us down into the pits of hell with him whenever the judgment comes. Instead, let's focus on the light. Let's focus on what can, first off, receiving the full light of God. And once we've received that, to stand up and let it shine. Let it shine. And then don't ever stop allowing the Lord to continue to shine his light on us. Y'all pray for me, because I want to be a light in my corner of the world. I want to shine as bright as I can, and I don't want there to be anybody that I'm associated with, that I come in contact with, that's searching for light and can't find it. Y'all pray for me.